The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Table Talk. This is a really special episode because this is the first time that we're actually going to be collaborating with some fellow Adventist podcasters. So we have the guys from Burn the Haystack on the show with us today. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, guys. So obviously, for nobody that knows the Burn the Haystack podcast,
that's pretty savage, man. But that's nobody that knows them.
Actually, good. That's actually good advertising.
I think you mean everybody, but most people know. Let's just keep moving on, forging forward.
We are very humble, small podcasts. We don't want to blow up smoke up anybody's bottoms. It's okay.
Just recently got 500 likes. Yeah, we saw it. No, but obviously we've got here Josh and Jesse.
So these guys are from Burn the Haystack, which you guys are in New Zealand. Tell us where you're from, guys.
We both live in Palmerston North, New Zealand.
Yeah, but we're both originally Aussies, so it's a bit of a strange thing, beautiful thing really, that we kind of get to represent Australia and New Zealand all together. A lot of our guests have been Australians and Kiwis, so we get to kind of double dip into those two beautiful cultures. But I'm originally from New South Wales, was born in Sydney.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm originally from Melbourne. Mm-hmm.
There was no support for that.
there was some half-hearted response from Matt.
Oh, well, I said, Wilsey goes for the Melbourne Storm, so that's close enough, right?
Yeah, I'm like, well, I like Melbourne Storm, but, you know, people that are born south of the Queensland border are all Mexican, so.
Well, then, this is going to be a great interview, I can tell.
So, for those listening, we met Josh and Jesse at Digital Discipleship Conference. I think we've mentioned them several times already.
Yeah.
But that was really cool to meet you guys there. So, we're going to sort of reflect on some of the connections that we made there at DDC in the interview today. And, yeah, it should be sweet.
So, just to start us off, this is not like a couple's question, but how did you guys actually meet each other?
Well, funnily enough, just like a couple, we were arguing over this very question just the other day.
Yeah. Very strange, because I originally thought that we made our first connection at Avondale.
Why are you saying made connection? That's so weird.
Weird. We did make a connection. It wasn't a very strong connection.
Just say we became friends. Okay, anyway.
But it was something more.
That's
what his Tinder profile said.
Like, we kind of think it was Avondale, but then we both remembered we actually both attended Move with the Power 3?
2011?
Yeah. Okay. So that's actually where we first met.
Yeah.
And then when you came to Avondale, I was like, hey, you're that guy from Move with the Power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, cool. You're that guy from Move the Power. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we first met. Look, I'll be honest. Josh and I, when we first met, we were in different sort of friend groups. We didn't hang out a heck of a lot at Avondale, which is where we would have had the most opportunity to hang out. We went through our 4 years. Actually, Josh, you did 5 years, yeah?
Yeah, it's because I did a year of teaching, okay? It's not...
Yeah, well, that's what we'll tell everyone anyway.
Josh is one quarter of a teacher. So we did our 4 years. He was a year ahead of me, so I had some classes with him, not that many. So we kind of knew each other, and then we both at the same time got a call, a pastoral call, as it were, to come to New Zealand. And so when I found out that he had also gotten called, we kind of reconnected after having not really talked to each other for like a year.
Yeah, and we connected because I remember I knew you played Hearthstone and I'd just gotten into playing Hearthstone. So I was like, oh, I should see if he still plays. And then that was, honestly, since that, we became like super tight.
Yeah.
And that's so cool.
But because, you know, coming to New Zealand, we've been kind of like the youngest pastors here by a pretty good margin.
Okay.
For the last few years, and just sort of being in the same boat, going on the same journey together, but at different places, now in the same place, has been pretty cool.
How have you found that, like being the youngest pastors sort of in the pastoral team there? What's your experience been like? How have you been received by the rest of the pastors?
Yeah, well, we're not, I don't think we're the youngest anymore. I think there's a couple of younger guys than us now. that they got from.
Not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But I think actually, I don't know. Yeah, not to speak against any conferences, but I know there have been conferences where young passers aren't accepted well, and it's really hard for them.
Hmm.
But I've actually found North New Zealand Conference has been really amazing.
Yeah.
Particularly when we came, our president was Pastor Eddie Tupai, and he was just, oh, man, I've never had a president that would just, well, he didn't call himself president, he called himself lead pastor, but he really set the tone because he was so open to listening to both of us. Like, he would really take things we say seriously, and he would promote our ideas, and he would share them, and would get us to share with others. He even did this thing last year, and they basically got all the pastors who've been in ministry less than 5 years and under a certain age, like the young pastors, and they got us all together and did this, what were they, like a think tank, like a brainstorm?
Yeah.
Like kind
yeah,
of visioning
yeah.
over the conference for the next however many years. I've never heard of any conference doing that. Yeah. So I found that really amazing. So I think here they've been really warm and accepting of us.
Yeah. And to reiterate, just to affirm, you know, I think Josh and I were very lucky to be here in North New Zealand. Obviously, as being Australians, it's hard sometimes being far away from home, but not just for pastors, but for young leaders. This conference is a really, really great place if you are a young leader in your church, because the conference really loves you and wants to help you in all the passions that God's placed in your heart. So yeah, just an awesome place to be.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I just want to ask a follow-up on that, because something that I've been thinking about recently is the concept of mentoring and how to encourage that. And it certainly sounds like you know, the conference president that you mentioned is certainly you know, fits that bill of being one of those mentoring kind of people. And I'm just wondering, do you guys have any reflections on that quality? What does make a good mentor, or any reflections on any mentors that you have had?
Hmm. I've had a few mentors since being here in New Zealand. Obviously, I've had my, you know, the senior pastors that have kind of been the sort of in between myself and the conference. But one of the great mentors I had here was a fellow Australian, Pastor Ben Martin. He's been pastoring in Hamilton Church for some time. And he mentored me pretty hard out in the first 2 years because he was my regional pastor. I guess probably the things that he helped me in the most was helping me to see things myself, not just telling me how things should be. Because when you have somebody who's been doing this a little bit longer than yourself, somebody who's a little bit further down the road, I think it's very easy to look at somebody who's a newbie and to instantly know and understand the struggle that they're going through and how they can actually fix it. I think what takes a lot more strength and maturity is to not just tell them what they need to know and how they can solve their problem, but to gently guide them to that realization themselves. Mm. And that's what he did with me in so many different ways, whether it was just dealing with controversy and conflict at church, my own ambitions, keeping them in check, or the frustrations that I had, which threatened to kind of derail what I was doing. He was really, really good for me in that space.
Yeah. And I think, for me, mentoring, I'm not really somebody who I find I have just one mentor. I actually generally try and have a whole range of mentors and get them to fit really niche areas. Mm-hmm. So I've got a mentor who, 'cause I really love music and sound production. I've got a mentor for my music and my practice, and I've got a mentor for my sound production and music production. I'm looking for a songwriting mentor at the moment, but, you know, and then like I've had mentors who are really good with pastoral ministry, but different areas in pastoral ministry. So one, he's a mentor with my study and helps me to just understand studying the word more and getting deeper into the word. And then another who's an expert at pastoral visitation and pastoral care and loving people and making people feel comfortable. So I follow him in that. So it's kind of, yeah, I don't know, like, I love the idea of a range of mentors, which is something I've found here, but also hopefully I'm giving to others as well. Like there's people I know that I'm trying to bring along in different areas and just trying to help them in a very niche area that's mm-hmm. big to them.
Yeah, and to springboard off that, Josh, I think one of the great huge advantages of the age that we live in is that we can be mentored by some of the greatest people in our respective industries or fields much more easily than we could in the past. Mm. Like I'm a huge fan of guys like Craig Rochelle and Kerry Newhoff and Andy Stanley and Patrick Lencioni. And the great thing is I can be mentored by them through their books, through the podcasts that they release, through the leadership and the artistic material that they release and they make available, whether it's in an audio, visual, or book form. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't, I think they dismiss. They think if I can't get in a room with somebody, it's not mentoring. But when you actually allow those people to speak into your life, the onus is really on you to say, what is this person saying to me personally on my level? And I think that's really powerful. It's helped me at least. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Sounds like you guys have got a very good culture.
Yeah. And that's one amazing thing about New Zealand is like the huge mix of cultures here, like Pacific Island culture. So you get like Polynesian, but you also get the Melanesian, and then you get the local Māori sort of culture and learning. I've loved learning about Māori culture. It's been a huge part of my thing here in New Zealand. I've loved it so much. And I never would have had that in Australia. And I think as well, all that mix of cultures has made it really warm and accepting and loving of us. Even though, I mean, New Zealanders like hate Australians, but
it's a cool hatred. It's like the hatred that Queenslanders have for every other Australian,
and the hatred that all Australians have for Tasmanians.
I just want to go on record as speaking to the one listener that we have in Tasmania. I'm really sorry.
But no, New Zealand is a beautiful place, and as Josh said, you know, it is such a melting pot. But one of the great things about New Zealand is that New Zealanders have a much more keen appreciation for the original owners of the land, for the Māori people, and it's Māori and that whole culture, whether it's language, whether it's cultural practices and spiritual practices, are much more present in New Zealand than it is, for instance, Aboriginal culture in Australia. Hmm. So just to give you an example, last night at our local high school, Longburn Adventist College, we had our year 13 graduation. Now, for our Australian listeners here in New Zealand, it doesn't finish at year 12. It goes all the way to year 13, which is kind of crazy for me to think of.
Yeah.
Because it starts a year earlier, like...
Yeah,
their kindergarten is year one. Anyway,
It was weird for me when I first came here.
I thought you didn't get it. I'm like,
no,
I'm
no, no,
still
no.
The same age.
Yeah. No, I get that. It's just Anyway, but for some of our Māori students who graduate, every time they receive an award, their family would get up and do a haka, or they would sing a waiata, like a song of celebration to affirm their daughter or granddaughter or niece or nephew. So there was one particular student who graduated, who received a whole bunch of awards. And so I think there was like three or four different hakas or waiatas that would be, and everybody just kind of accept, it's just, this is what we do. Hmm. Which is such an odd thing as an Australian. That would never happen in an Australian high school.
Yeah, well, I can only think, I don't know if you guys, follow the NRL, but obviously the Dally M medal went to one of the Warriors players, you know, the New Zealand NRL team. And yeah, so he's being presented this this medal, and next thing, all the New Zealand, born rugby league players, they got up and performed a haka in the middle of this ceremony. And you can see the Aussies are looking around like, is this something like what do we do here? Like, they're just like so unsure, but it's like, okay, we're just going to let it happen. But yeah, no, it was really cool, because you're right, that's something we don't see, I think, out of Australian culture, which is really just come from a colonial style culture. So,
and New Zealand culture isn't, it's not exclusive, it's like, so they announced the head boy for next year, and we have one of our boarding deans here, an incredible guy, Kofi, who we actually interviewed in the podcast quite a while ago. He's a Canadian-born Ghanaian guy, but he actually led the haka to celebrate the head boy. And it's just such an awesome thing. You know, you have a Ghanaian-Canadian guy with PNG kids and Fijian kids and Māori kids all together doing this haka to honor this guy. And everybody just loves it. You know, they just embrace the culture. It's just a beautiful thing.
That's really cool.
So just to sort of like backtrack a little bit to earlier in our conversation, you're talking about how you guys met and eventually got to New Zealand. How did Burn the Haystack kick off? What's the origin story there? When did you say, hey, let's start doing this?
Yeah, it's kind of a... It's a bit of a weird story, I guess, like looking back. But part of the internship program as a pastor, they sort of want you to do an evangelistic series. So on paper, it looks like, you know, setting up in town and doing like a revelation seminar or a health seminar. And then we sort of, I think it was most of me at the start probing. I was like, so how creative can we be with this? And they were like, that's another cool thing about North New Zealand Conference. They're like, you can be as creative as you want, as long as you think it'll reach people that no one's reaching at the moment. And I said, well, could we do something online? And they said, absolutely, we'd love that. And then I said, can I do a collaboration with another intern? And then they said, yes, definitely. So then, yeah, Jesse and I teed up, and then we, got permission to do it together. And so then it actually led us originally to start a YouTube channel. And we did these sort of videos that a couple of them went really well, and then a few were just flops. But it was a really good learning curve, and the reach of them was crazy. There was one that had like 1.3 or 4,000 views or something on Facebook.
Wow.
So it was really cool, but we kept getting a lot of feedback from people and asking lots of questions. And then, I guess it ended up sort of the year wrapped up, and we kind of were talking about it when this year started. And we said, is the video thing working? I mean, now that we're living in the same place, because it was a bit of a mess, like trying to meet in the middle because we lived like 6 hours apart and doing these videos together. And we thought we were putting a whole lot of time in and not really getting that much fruit for it. So then we had a couple of people actually say, man, we'd love what you guys are talking about, but we'd love to hear it like longer on each subject. So people were sort of craving a more long form media. So that's when we decided, okay, well, let's try and put our energy at least for this year into a podcast. And we did, and we feel like it's been really fruitful. I think it's just been a really, I mean, from this beginning to now, we've learned so much about digital ministry and digital discipleship. That's sort of a quick story of how it started.
Right, yeah,
that's cool. So do you sort of see this continuing on then, like when you guys do eventually get to move on in your ministry, do you feel like Burn the Haystack will continue?
Yeah, I think so. At the moment, we don't have any, well, like originally when we kind of talked about it, we sort of had a little number of episodes that we thought we'd do. We kind of weren't sure if we were going to ever make it past 20.
We had a definite sort of list of ideas that we wanted to do. Yep. And I think we kind of thought that once we'd gotten through that, that was it. But the thing sort of evolved, if you want to use that word, out of that, because, I mean, I think evolution is kind of the right word, because, I mean, it's grown to a place that we never could have imagined. We've just kind of been along for the ride. And when opportunities have popped up, you know, like one of the dreams that I had was to interview Tim Gillespie, you know, and I thought, oh, we'll never be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I mentioned to Josh, I'd love to interview Tim Gillespie one day. And Josh was like, yeah, okay, that sounds cool. And then unknowns to me, he just messaged him, said, hey, do you want to go on our podcast and we'll interview? And Tim was like, sure. And so we ended up doing two episodes. So
yeah. And it was amazing, because doing that was really a catalyst, because that really opened up the US for us.
Yeah, which is such a huge market. It's ridiculous how many...
Yeah, there's so many people, and now we have so many American listeners. We actually have more, currently at the moment, people listening from America than New Zealand, and it's probably going to overtake Australia soon.
Yeah,
so, like I found it just so interesting how one thing keeps leading to another.
Yeah, and we just keep kind of going, yes, okay, sure, let's do this, and then... Yeah, and it's just been super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So you began your ministry with podcasts and that, but one thing that I'm sure our listeners would be keen to understand is, what's with the name Burn the Haystack? Is that like trying to get rid of the staple Adventist meal, or what's the go there?
Absolutely, burn it all.
No, we actually both like haystacks, funnily enough. It came
good
from...
We don't have to disfellowship you.
or is it like ingesting it and burning the calories you eat, or what's the story behind burning the haystack?
Yeah, no, we, so our original project was called The Josh and Jesse Show.
Pretty imaginative, eh?
Yeah, yeah, creative, man.
Sort of in the whole thing about rebranding and moving to a podcast, we thought, oh, we should have a new name. And we had all these names, and we couldn't really find the right one. And then I think it was me. I made a joke about, wow, let's just burn the haystack. You know, like, I don't know. It was kind of a...
It was a throwaway comment that kind of... It came to me. And then I was like, huh, I actually kind of like that. And then Josh was like, oh, nah. And then over the next few days to a week, I kind of start... It was stewing in my head. And then we kind of were like, nah, let's just call us that. And then it's funny because the name came about probably before the vision came about, and that vision that we started with has even evolved since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you listen to the first episode, it's kind of this weird warped understanding of what it means to burn the haystack. And later we sort of came to a different understanding because I ran across this quote later once we'd already started, and it was like, what's the fastest way to find a needle in a haystack? You burn the haystack. And then we kind of joked, well, Adventists do love their haystack. And we kind of just thought, you know, like, if the needle is Jesus, are there things that we let get in the way sometimes and let cover him up? You try and sift through all this stuff when really we should just be burning it and getting rid of stuff. So our whole kind of thing came from, well, let's just burn, like, look at our culture and our spiritual practices and our faith and everything that's unhelpful, everything that gets in the way, let's just burn that and then let's burn the rest and save the best.
Yeah, because I was going to say, obviously, that's your tagline, isn't it? Save the best and burn the rest.
Yeah. So you guys, that's the thing. Like, we find there's so much that gets in the way, and these days, what it means to be an Adventist has gotten so confusing for so many people, and things that people say are black and white maybe should fit better in a grey category, and things that are grey maybe they should be a bit black and white. But there's so many things that have been so messed up. That it's really hard for people to even define what an Adventist is. So for us, we want to just burn away all that excess and come back to a really raw and true form of, hey, what does being Adventist really look like?
Neither of us really want to be here telling people how to express their faith, what it actually means to be an Adventist. Of course, there are certain things that we probably plant our flag on, but more than anything else, we want to build a community and encourage further conversation, not just between us and our listeners, but our listeners and our listeners and other people, you know, because I think the more that we decentralize the power from the talking heads and the men in suits, the older white men in suits, might I add, that as soon as we decentralize power from just them speaking down to us, this is what you should believe, I believe that the more the conversation can grow and the more that we as Adventist Christians can grow.
That's awesome. So just jumping pretty much straight off that, we might just ask the question, so what are some of the biggest haystacks that you guys would like to see burnt?
Oh boy.
Man, it changes every day.
It absolutely does. Well, I guess we can talk a little bit about some of the ones that we have burnt and then some of the ones that we might want to look at in the future. There's a few that we're still very much working through because we don't really have a unified opinion on, because Josh and I disagree all the time on this stuff. But one of the ones that we did early on, I think, was around the subject of video games. That's one that seemed to really strike a chord with our listeners. You know, we're all millennials, and I think when it comes to recreation, there's definitely certain things that strike a chord with a generation. You know, for my dad's generation, it was, you know, getting out in the outdoors and all that sort of stuff, and that's definitely still current, but I think as generations move on, the way that we express ourselves through art and media and recreation tend to evolve. Video games is one of those things, super misunderstood, super, I think in many ways misconstrued in popular media. We all know that one news report every once in a while, such and such shot up a school and he was playing Call of Duty. So obviously it's video games' fault.
Let alone all the shootings that happen that don't involve any video games, but anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Listen to our episode if you want to hear us rant about that. Yeah.
So what about some of the ones that you are yet to burn?
Yeah, well, there's probably one tweet. Like, so we did an episode on Sabbath.
Yep.
And it's not that we want to burn Sabbath, but we want to burn, I guess, a bunch of the preconceived ideas that people have about Sabbath and that people don't stop and ask questions about.
And to be honest, we only really touched the surface on that one.
Yeah, yeah. And so we feel like we could keep coming back to that one over and over and over again.
Yep.
And it would still be interesting. So, yeah, Sabbath, I think there's still things with Sabbath. And art is a huge thing for me. I was just having a discussion with someone on Facebook, which I don't like doing, but it was so worth it that I needed to. But just about like their opinion on music and what music should be used in church, what music shouldn't be used in church. And like, I don't know, I just have my own ideas about music and creativity that I really think we have a lot of stuff that's gotten in the way that I would love to just see. Well, okay, let's have a real chat about this and let's... Like, are there different ideas? Are there different ways of dealing with this? So that's me. Art, I think, is a big one.
Yeah.
I would love to continue burning.
Okay. I think if I could just speak for myself, one that I don't think... One that we've talked about, but we've never really approached because we just don't feel equipped to talk about it, is homosexuality, transgenderism, LGBTQI spectrum of gender identity, sexuality, and all that sort of stuff. That's a crucial conversation that we need to have in a healthy way that we just aren't able to.
Absolutely.
I personally think that we can't really talk about that right now because we're so worked up about women's ordination. I think that we're kind of distracted by a lot of these other issues. And I think that once, if ever, those issues get resolved, which I'm not very hopeful about the near future at least, if and when they do get resolved, this is going to be an issue that we're going to need to face. And we have a very traditional understanding of gender and marriage that comes straight from the biblical text. And that's fine. I don't want to argue with that because I think that, well, I've read many books on it. I've heard many people speak on it. But the crucial question for me, and I think especially with my youngest siblings and our future children and our present children who are going to grow up and become teenagers and young adults. Whereas for our generation and our parents' generation, gay people, transgender people are kind of people that we know about, but we're not really friends with. When our kids grow up, this is going to be their friends. This is going to be the people that they really care about. So when it comes to what do we do with gay people, is gay okay, or is gay not okay? When our kids are our age, it's going to be a completely different conversation, and I think there's going to be a lot of controversy around that one. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a conversation we need to have.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good call. So, of the interviews that you have done, like, what would be your favorites? Say, your top three interviews so far.
Ooh, you're asking us to choose. This is like Battle Royale for our guests.
Yeah. That's right. And the ones that you don't pick, we're going to personally message later and tell them that you...
Oh, goodness. All right, well, I'll start because I've already thought about it.
All right.
So I know we were having a chat about this before, but I actually lied and I realized what my top three actually are. So, but my top three, at least at the moment... I loved the episode. I think it was one of the first episodes. The first interviews we did was with, oh no, the second interview we did, but it was our first one that we did live in person with Julene Kapow.
Right.
Yeah, it's episode number 8, which is Julene Kapow Has Left the Bubble. I still love that episode and I listened to it, you know, I found it so helpful, at least for me.
Awesome.
And then Kira Bullock Sees Only Potential. That one was crazy good. I love that one. And I also loved, I actually also love the one we did with Andrew Strickland, which was about what the church or what Christianity can learn from multiculture.
That was a really cool, that's an underrated episode in terms of downloads. But yeah, that was a really cool episode.
That's really cool.
So I think for me, I love those episodes too. I hate that you're making me choose. But if I had to choose, I would probably say number 3 would probably be our first interview with Tim Gillespie on the One Project, and
I didn't put him in an order. That's harsh, bro.
Oh, I thought that you were going from three to. Oh my god.
No, I didn't.
Well, these guys said top three.
Well, now you've put your foot in it. You better follow through.
Okay, number three. I'm scratch three. That. These are all equal.
No, you've already said it, man. You can't get away from it now.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Tim.
So what's second place?
All right. Second place would probably have to be Ben Reynolds, our resident scholar here in North New Zealand. He's actually a real young dude, but he's got a brain and a half on him. We talk about all sorts of stuff from the KJV Bible to translation, interpretation, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and what was it? Textual criticism.
Textual criticism.
Oh, that was so interesting.
Words that just elude my meaning. It's all good. If I had to pick another one, it would probably be our interview with Jared Stackelroth, who you guys also met at Digital Discipleship.
Yeah,
Just what a wonderful man he is.
That was a really good interview.
Mm. Yeah, it was.
Love that guy.
Mm.
Awesome. So, do you have some dream interviews to come? People that you would love to see on the show?
We have so many dream interviews. Like, personally, okay, if I was to just go for like
shoot
unlimited,
for the stars, man.
Love. My number one would be to get Rob Bell. Okay. I would love to interview Rob Bell.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, because a lot of his theology is actually quite closely linked with Adventism. So yeah. I actually think it'd make a really interesting discussion. I would probably even love to do like four episodes with him. The other one I would love to have would be Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. But at the same time, I would hate that because I know that I could not mentally keep up with him. Yeah. And I would probably just make him angry. Those are my two like dream interviews.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I could just shoot for the stars.
Yeah, and that would be so good. Oh my gosh. There was a time when I binge watched, if any of our listeners have not heard of Dr. Jordan Peterson, go and binge watch on YouTube his biblical series. He does a biblical series of lectures where he goes through the entire book of, or just about the entire book of Genesis, and analyzes it from a psychological perspective whilst using some theology. He's not a theologian, and he's very wishy-washy probably when it comes to, are you a Christian? Do you believe in God? But he's primarily a humanist, but the way that he interprets Genesis from a psychological and archetypal perspective is pretty crazy.
Yeah, so fascinating.
So for me, I would probably say my top two would be Father Richard Rohr, who is a Catholic Franciscan monk. He has written a couple of really fantastic books, and he's the sort of guy that when I'm his age, he's in his 80s, I just kind of want to be like him. He's kind of got this warmth and genuineness, and he's been knocked about in life, but the theology that he has, whilst being Catholic, I know that, you know, we're Adventists and we're supposed to, you know, Catholics are, but I love the guy. What can I say?
Sorry.
The other person, and this is another controversial one, on the other side of the spectrum, would probably be Desmond Ford. He fascinates me.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of his ex-students. I once pastored a church that had like three of his ex-students in that church. So the stories they told me about what he was like when he lectured at Avondale, and the sort of story of what happened to him, and sort of where he is now, I just love to talk to him. I think he'd be amazing.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Hey, can we, obviously we know we got time constraints on both ends of this interview, but I was hoping that we could probably do a couple of quick fire questions with you guys. Just two questions that are going to run hand in hand before I guess we start trying to wrap this all up.
Yeah.
But okay, so the two questions that we want you to try and run hand in hand are, what are the best things that you see currently happening in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, whether that's New Zealand, Australia, worldwide? And then to balance that one is, what are the biggest opportunities we're missing as a church?
Okay. I'll go first. I think the best things we're seeing at the moment is actually, I guess I would call it the digital awakening of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We got a whole lot of, like, the Digital Discipleship Conference is an amazing catalyst in a way that's bringing a whole lot of people together and empowering us. I mean, obviously, this never probably would have happened if it wasn't for digital discipleship. Mm. So I actually think that is amazing, and it's giving a voice to probably it's giving a voice and amplification to a voice in the church that has not really been heard often. Mainstream Adventist media has often been very much one voice, and it's not always representative of our whole church, but now it's like there's a multitude of voices springing out, and it's actually really beautiful. But funnily enough, I actually think it's also the area that we are missing out on the most. So when you Google Seventh-day Adventist, the top like five pages are all basically like anti-Ellen White, anti-everything Adventism. If you go on YouTube, which is, you know, crazy, like Gen Z, for example, 50% of Gen Z, no, okay, so 95% of Gen Z use YouTube regularly. 50% say they couldn't live without it. And that's the thing, like you go on YouTube and look up Adventist and it's all like 50-minute Doug Batchelor sermons or like a two-hour, what's his name, Walter Veith series on whatever conspiracies. And I mean, all good for people who are into that. But like, why aren't there simple, punchy explanations of our fundamental beliefs on there? And that should be number one. Why aren't there simple, punchy things about the lens of the world through and like how what it looks like to follow Jesus through an Adventist lens? I would love to get in and make some of that stuff, but, you know, I'm struggling. But, you know, that's what I'm thinking. Like, we should have so many Adventists out there on YouTube, and I would love to see that. YouTube and other, you know, Instagram video, Facebook video, streamers on Twitch. Yeah, we're starting this digital thing, but we have so much work and so much ground to catch up on that we've fallen behind in.
It's like we've come on late to the party, really, eh?
Yeah, but with the digital age, it's never too late. You can catch up so quickly. Yeah.
Just binge it.
And I think that you guys and us and so many other podcasts are a great illustration of that. You know, look at where we all started. We all started pretty ghetto, pretty, you know, basic, but we're slowly growing and getting better. Our content is getting better. Our presentation is getting better, better opportunities, and I think that that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. It does speak for what the future is going to be like, which is awesome.
I don't know if I can really add a heck of a lot more to what Josh said, because that would probably be my big thing. Probably if I could add one thing, it's both those questions, I think they're a double-edged sword. So what I love to see, as I mentioned earlier on, the decentralization of power. Because ultimately I think that influence is power, power is influence. I think they go hand in hand. And when it comes to the explosion of not just Adventist podcasters, but Adventist content creators, we're seeing a lot of new Adventist podcasts pop up. As Josh mentioned, we're not seeing a lot of other great content creators. We're not seeing a lot of other great YouTubers, for instance. I'd love to see, you know, Justin Coe is a great YouTuber, that Christian vlogger. But where are his counterparts? Where are his, you know, his people? I love what Caleb Isley is doing with Humans of Adventism on Facebook. The thing that saddens me is that whilst we're seeing a lot more content creators, specifically podcasters, popping up here, there, and everywhere, most of them in the US, that's fine. But I know that there are a lot more Australian and New Zealanders that are up and coming that are going to be starting podcasts in the future. That excites me. What saddens me in some ways is that other part of our church, which seems to be wanting to take back the power, which is becoming decentralized, and to re-centralize it. That does sadden me. The myriad and diversity of expression that we are starting to see through different cultures and different mediums, I think is going to be a really good thing for the church. And I just hope that we don't get to a place where those types of people, those of us who are content creators who want to, you know, share our voice to help people to grow spiritually, to grow in their understanding of Christ, I hope that there's not a censorship in the future of some sort that actually seeks to actually cut off those voices. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's actually a really good synopsis, I think, of the state of where Adventist New Media is at. But what do you guys, like, what's in the future for you guys specifically? What's exciting that's coming up for Burn the Haystack?
Ooh, yeah. We have our first, like, we did a live episode, recorded a live episode in front of an audience.
Yep, saw that.
Yeah, that's coming out, oh gosh, I don't know, probably a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah. It was a youth rally sort of thing. We just sort of sat down with our local youth director and we did some banter back and forth, and also interviewed a young lady from a church in Auckland that's doing really beautiful things. So hopefully we can do some more of that. It was really fun. It was really different. I don't know if you guys, I know that you guys have done one live podcast recording, or have you done more?
We just did the one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really different live, I found. It's so different.
Yeah.
It's intimidating in a way, but we're trying to push ourselves further. So one of the things that we do want to do, which we might get to eventually, is actually kind of going the whole Joe Rogan route of actually live streaming to a social platform when we record our interview.
Yeah, like filming the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, having it as a whole live experience. I like that. It's more, I think it is more engaging, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think Jesse and I also have our own sort of projects as well. We've been talking about getting up and running, like our own, like separate from Burn the Haystack too.
Yeah.
Which I don't think either of us are really ready to talk about.
No, I mean, I have ideas all the time, and most of those ideas kind of go by the wayside. So this is actually, Burn the Haystack is a really interesting example of just what can happen when, instead of coming up with a great idea and getting really excited about it and then ultimately kind of forgetting about it or not fulfilling or going through, which happens so much with creative types, of when you stick through something and actually build it, it's just amazing what can come out of it. So yeah. I love that.
That's been the cool part about pushing each other along. So I think, like, even if we do separate projects from Burn the Haystack, it'll still be we'll still be pushing each other along.
And I've been really pushing Josh. I don't know. He kind of gets annoyed sometimes, and rightly so. I push him really hard with, like, the musical side, because I just think he's a fantastic composer, and I've been really pushing him to create great music for our podcast, which he gets annoyed at me sometimes because I kind of push him a little bit too rudely sometimes, but... but yeah, that's the sort of thing. Like, we've been pushing each other.
Yeah. So I think as well, yeah, I guess, like, the major thing for us both right now is just growing and expanding what Burn the Haystack looks like. We are a big thing, actually, we can say, is that we're definitely getting a website up and going, and we're still working out exactly what the website offers. And as well, we're working on our Instagram at the moment too, to get that more sort of pumping, and our Facebook page is doing well, but we always want to take it to that next level. So we've done a live stream in the past where it was a conversational sort of live stream, and so we're doing another one of those soon. And we're kind of looking into maybe making those a sort of regular thing apart from the podcast, but still, yeah, there's just a lot of things we want to experiment with and see how we can take what we're doing to the next level all the time.
Cool. Good on you guys.
Well, that's been awesome. I know we're pretty much out of time, so we might just throw it over to you guys. Just tell people, where can they find you if they hear this and they had no idea who you are and they're like, oh, this is so good, we need to subscribe. Please tell me right now, where do I do that? How do they do it?
Okay, you can find Burn the Haystack anywhere where you can find podcasts. So if you just put in Burn the Haystack, Burn the Haystack into Google, you'll find us. But yeah, on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio, if you've got an Android, or even on Spotify, we're on there too. It's a really convenient way for people to listen. And we are on YouTube too, but our episodes are a little bit behind at the moment because we had a bit of trouble with uploading them. So, but yeah, we have a YouTube channel as well, which is just the audio. So you can listen to it there if you're not into any of those previous apps mentioned.
Yeah, and if you want to connect with us on social media, obviously we've got Instagram and Facebook. Facebook is kind of probably the most active one, I'd say. But we are working on Instagram. if you go to our Instagram page, just type in Burn the Haystack, and it's a pretty unusual title, so I don't think there's anybody else competing for that real estate on social.
We've claimed it pretty hard.
But yeah, if you go to Instagram and you just click the link on the bio, that'll take you to Apple Podcasts. Sorry, Android users, but Apple Podcasts does take up over 50% of our market share. So
it's like 70% or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So yeah.
Awesome. No worries. Well, thanks, guys, so much for spending the time with us. I mean, there's so much more we could talk about, but maybe we'll do a part two sometime.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us. We really, really loved it. And what you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for what you guys do. I mean, you have such a different vibe to us, the way that you guys dig into the Bible as everyday guys. I think that you are doing such a great service for Christians and for Adventists everywhere to show that it's actually possible to talk about these conversations and not just have the pastor tell you what to think and believe. So you're doing incredible work. Keep doing it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's keep building the kingdom.
Yeah. Amen. That's it.
All right. We'll catch you guys next time.
And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even a dollar a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.